Connecticut, the land where even the notion of getting windblown is questionable. Are we sure this wasn't Hurricane Steve?
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, my windblown people. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Our guest today has been rocking San Francisco for the better part of 15 years with her unapologetic and energetic performances. We welcome Maria Connor. She is now the author of Girl Shock. I dressed up as a girl on Halloween, but then she took over my life. And she's here to talk about that book. I love the title, by the way.
Yeah, amazing.
I love the graphics of the whole book and the pictures.
It's actually right behind you right now.
Right. It's amazing. So I'm super excited to have Maria Connor with us. My name is Tom and I am your host. And I'm in the studio with the only host that could make it today.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And just welcome you all to the dish section of today. So it's amazing. Yeah, I figured between two of us, there's no sense. The dish? Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
It's fine.
It's weird. How are you, Nick?
I'm good.
Oh, Nick has stories for us today.
Oh, I do?
You do. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get into the stories because Nick got something this morning.
I did.
First thing in the morning.
Very early.
And she took a try at it, and I don't know. So, but I'm going to let her talk about that experience. So, Trish, how are you, first and foremost?
I'm good. You know.
All is well in the land of Oz?
Busy as hell.
That's awesome. So, why don't you tell us about your weekend? How exciting is it to be doing all of this craziness?
Yeah, no, my weekend was good. We didn't really do much because we thought a storm was coming.
Right.
I worked Friday, and Saturday I came over here for a hot minute, and then, that was it. But then, today, it arrived.
It arrived. What arrived?
Henri.
Henri. So you named this Henri, okay.
I did. I named it...
Preach, speak.
I named it because of Henri, the hurricane. It came the day after. So I purchased myself a Peloton.
She sure did.
Mm-hmm.
She sure did.
And I absolutely love it so much. I mean, today... So they came at 7 a.m. and dropped it off. And I was on the bike by 8. And I did a 20-minute workout. Or a 20-minute cycle session with Cody, who is one of the instructors, but he's gay, and I love him. And it was to Disney music.
First of all, so can you describe your instructor?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, go for it.
So he's like super gay and super cute, and then like it was to Disney music, so he was like... You know, Frozen came on. He's like, I had to throw it in there.
Of course.
And then at one point, the song from Moana came on. He's like, my husband made me put that in the mix. And I was like, it was just amazing. And it was like, it was fun. And it was only 20 minutes. And it kicked my ass.
So you remember a while back we had that that episode with Dr. G talking about Peloton pelvis, right? Do you feel like you're in pain in the groin area as a result of your little 20-minute bike ride?
Tom, when I got here, I asked you to rub my taint.
Yeah, he did. Actually, when he walked in, he was walking in like a little bow-legged. I'm like, are you okay, girl? She was going through it.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny? It's like, I have not worked out in a very long time. And I know that I'm out of shape, like mentally.
Right.
But then hopping on that bike and doing that 20 minutes today, like, it ended up being about 5.5 miles.
Right.
But I realized how out of shape I am.
Right.
Everything hurt. I was sweating like a whore in church.
I can only imagine.
It took me about a half hour to recover.
I mean, think about it. It's been, what, how long has it been now since the pandemic? Almost 18 months?
Yeah.
You actually hopped on something.
I know.
18 months later. It took you 18 months to actually hop on something.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, it was expensive.
Yeah.
Wow. But honestly, I love it. And they have what they call the leaderboard. So you can see like where you rank with everybody.
Where are you?
Oh, God. Today, I think I was like...
1,000?
No, there were... When I was riding, there were over 300,000 riders. And I think I ranked at about 150.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not bad for your first 20-minute run.
No.
But, you know, like everything else, just like riding a bike, you just have to keep at it and you get better. Mm-hmm. I think that you'll work up your endurance as you keep doing it every day.
Yeah, but the funny thing was, so my sister has a Peloton, and that's really kind of, like, I've wanted one for a while. She got one, and she's like, Nick, you got to get it.
Of course she did.
Like, you got to get it. You're going to love it. She knows I love to spin. So I ended up getting it, and then she called me after my first session, and she was like, so did you do a beginner session? I was like, there are beginner sessions? And she was like, yeah. I was like, no, I just did a 20 minute with Cody. She was like, oh, he kicked your ass.
And sure did.
He did. Cody. Oh my God, my taint.
And Cody's gay.
Cody is 100% gay.
That's awesome. Yep. And of course, obviously his choice of music was an indicator.
Well, he has a whole bunch of, you know,
different ones.
Classes. And my sister today was like, tomorrow you should do the Spice Girls one. I was like, okay.
Oh, people of the world, bike up your life. Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, it's only been one day, but it was great. I love it.
I think you're going to do well. Just stick to it. I know that you're committed. Obviously you spent that much money to have it just sit somewhere, just collecting like underwears and towels. It's just
literally, it's right next to my dining table, which is now my at home desk. Right. So it's staring at me. Like I have to actually do it.
Right. It's going to happen.
It's like a guilt thing. It's like when you don't go to work or you call out of work.
Right.
That guilt that you get, that's what it's like. And it's just staring at you all day long.
Right. It's in your face. It's like, come sit on me, get on me, spin me.
And honestly, it's so nice and so fun. Like
I can see it now. You're going to riddle yourself into that bike every morning.
Oh, 100%.
Pedal me this, pedal me that.
100%. But the funny thing is, like, you know, it was my first time. And so... About 15 minutes in, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
So this is what I want you to say every morning when you look at the bike. Pedal me this, pedal me that. I'm going to pedal on you because I don't want to be fat.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Yeah. I mean, my goal is to get back into my suit from Gala last year. So we'll see.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll get there. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's amazing what you do when you start moving your body. I just don't have any ambition to do that.
My body was like rejecting every moment of it this morning. Like, honestly, my body was like, what the fuck are you doing to me? And then I tried to walk upstairs. I got lightheaded. Like, it was bad. It was. And I also learned that you need to hydrate before, during, and after.
Right.
Not just during and after. Because I started and I'm like...
I mean, watching the commercials alone makes me feel like, oh my God, I'm going to die on that thing.
Oh no, it's amazing. So. You would love it. You would literally love it.
I don't mind biking. I have really good endurance when it comes to my legs. I'll tell you a story. So about, I would say a decade ago, my friend Jack, my best friend, it was her birthday and she had asked that for her birthday that I run the New Haven Road Race.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's coming up.
So they prepared for 6 months. I didn't prepare. I just kept eating my fatty foods, drinking myself into oblivion like I always did, blah, blah, blah. And that Sunday night, because the race is on Monday morning, first thing, I went to Partners and I drank and I got drunk. She was like, no, I'm going to stay home, blah, blah, blah. So I started. So when you go and you line yourself up, you have markers, right? You have a 4 minute mile, 5 minute mile, 7 minute mile, 10 minute mile, 12, 20 minute mile. Depending on how good you are, you go to those markers, right? So I said, oh, you know, maybe I can bang this out in 10 minutes. So her and I and her husband went to the 10 minute mile. And so the race began. We started jogging. You know, I wasn't about running. Ain't nobody got time for that. I jogged it. And we're running along. And, you know, Jack eventually had to slow down a little bit and walk. So I walked with her. And then her husband went ahead and we sort of kind of lost him. And then I was like, well, Jack, you know, you walk. I'm just going to keep jogging and I'm just going to keep going. I think I did probably be about 70 minutes. I was dead by the time I got to the end of that finish line. Mm-hmm. I downed 4 beers and ate 4 loaves of bread because, you know, you got to eat carbs immediately after a race. And so they give you that at the end.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting there like wondering where the hell is Jack and where the hell is her husband? And apparently they didn't finish the race yet. They came in. My time was better than theirs. And they prepped for 6 months. Mm. So, and I ran in high school. So, you know, it was like muscle memory for mm-hmm. me, but nonetheless, I was dead. Ugh. I was dead. Yeah. And I went drinking the night before and I went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to wake up at 6 to be there by 7.
You're crazy.
Yeah. But I did it.
Yeah. No, this morning, cause like last night I ended up taking the night off work because the Peloton was coming at 7 a.m.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I've got a full day of work. If I have to get up that early, I'm not going to go into work and work all night, get up, have this thing delivered, and then have to work a full day. And so I took the night off work, and then I couldn't sleep. And right. I think you're right. I think it was because like I was nervous about, you know, waking up on time because they were coming so early. Right. Also excited about the Peloton coming in. And this morning it shows up and I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm exhausted. Like, I don't want to get on this bike right now.
But she got on it.
She got on it. But let me tell you, so you have you get, you know, shoes that come with the Peloton and they click in. And I was like... I was like, I could not figure out how to click my fucking feet into the thing.
Dorothy, just tap your heels.
I know. And then the poor delivery guys, man. Oh, God. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Apologies in advance for having to experience this first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh. So I got a phone call. I'm going to tell you right now exactly what time it was. So I got a phone call today at 6:53 a.m., and I knew it was the Peloton, so I pick it up, and they were like, we're about 10, 15 minutes out. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay.
Death.
Literally, that's what these people heard. I roll out of bed, I start making coffee, they pull up, and I'm like, I'm sorry, this is just... is what it is. I had my patches on my face, my hair was a hot mess. Like, they were like, ooh, girl. Like,
rough. Rough.
So bad. I mean, they got a nice tip, ouch. So it's fine, but...
Well... I would expect a nice tip, too, if I were subjected.
Yeah, the guy was laughing at me. He was like, we'll be out of here soon. Don't worry.
And I know because, I mean, she slept in my house before. And I've woken up many a times to that.
Mm, not pretty.
Yeah, she needs work in the morning.
Yeah, TLC. So
I always say, like Joan Crawford in that scene in the movie Mommy Dearest, when she's, like, walking into the bathroom, she's got an ice machine under her freaking, like, basin. Uh-huh. And she just throws ice in there and she just starts icing her face. I was like, you better work, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that, like, you know, put it back to where it should be.
So I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. You know, as far as I go for the weekend, as far as my weekend, I know that I had mentioned we build a gazebo.
Not we.
We, yeah, well, you supervised.
Yeah.
Well, and so we ended up building a gazebo and it was up. And then, of course, you know, while we were building it, the person who was helping me, not this one, says to me, you know, that'll be fucked up if you get a storm next week and it blows it out of here. And then, of course, they announced that this freaking hurricane / tropical storm was literally gunning for New Haven. And I'm like, great.
100%.
Yeah. Now I'm running around trying to find anchors to anchor this thing into my patio, into the concrete. And we ended up doing it in time and then nothing. I'm telling you. Like,
so I worked on Friday night. And when I got up, I ended up texting you.
Right. What are you doing?
Something, yeah. Right. And you were like, can you come over and help me anchor the blah, blah, blah? I'm like, what the fuck does that entail? Mm-hmm. Like, I just got out of bed. I'm on my first cup of coffee.
That was, like, seriously one of her questions. What does that entail? And I'm like, does it matter?
I was like, we have to move that whole thing so you can drill and then, like, screw. Mm-hmm. So anyway, as a professional does... I arrived right when they were done.
Right. Appreciate it. crazy. But that was pretty much my weekend. But now it's secure and it's still there, thankfully. Really thankful that Henri, or whatever you want to call the storm, whatever it's called, wasn't bad for us. Obviously, there was a lot of damage on the eastern side of the state and into the state of Rhode Island. And our thoughts and prayers are with those that are suffering as a result of the high winds and waters. And we were really lucky.
Yes.
We dodged the bullet. So I'm grateful for that. Anyway, we've got a couple of stories that we want to mention, talk about, now that we've got that under wraps, and a lot of good news coming from the FDA. The FDA has officially approved the Pfizer COVID vaccine, has gotten full approval, which means that this leads now to the possibility of corporations, the military. I believe the Pentagon has already requested that all employees must. They're literally mandating the vaccine because it now has received that FDA approval. And it opens a window for really trying to get those numbers up there, right?
Yeah.
Companies can now say you must get the vaccine before you come back.
Yeah. Well, actually, my company, which was kind of cool, they are requiring people to get the vaccine before you go into the office. But at the same time, they said if you, you know, provide proof of vaccination, we'll give you an extra day of PTO or whatever it is.
Which is great. It's an incentive, right? And a lot of companies have been doing that. They've been incentivizing. Even local governments have been giving people, hey, we'll give you $600 or whatever if you get vaccinated.
What was that one state that was like, we'll give you like $1 million or something?
Oh, they were doing a lottery. So every person that got vaccinated would get put into a lottery, and four people were being chosen to win $1 million each. I would have been on that. I mean, I was on the line anyway, because, you know, I didn't want to put my mother at risk. But this is good news. It means that, you know, now the FDA has actually said that these vaccines are indeed safe. And with that stamp of approval, unless you have a waiver, I think it'd be best that you go and get vaccinated, because it's only going to get worse if we don't do what we need to do.
Yeah. And so, it is so weird to me that kids under 12 can't get it.
Right. Well, now with the FDA approval, that may change, because they're doing the trials now on the youngsters. I believe Moderna.
On the youngsters?
On the youngsters, both Moderna and Pfizer, on children under the age of 12. And those trials haven't finished yet, but I'm sure that now with the FDA approval, that, you know, that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're thinking about all these kids that are going back to school now, that are, you know, especially in states where they're like trying to avoid these kids from like wearing masks, like Rob DeSantis in Florida.
Oh my God.
Asshole.
I don't even want to go down that road. Right. There is, I'm not going to mention names, but there is somebody that's very close to me in my life who I love very dearly, who is literally like my person besides you. And they were posting videos of like this guy talking about why masks are dangerous for people and dangerous for kids. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? We just went through a goddamn pandemic and you're posting this shit. And then I go further on this person's story and they have an AR, they're shooting an AR-15.
Right.
I'm like, you know how many kids that AR-15 has killed? And you're bitching about masks while shooting a gun? I was like, how do I even approach this?
Right. Sometimes, you know, be like Frozen, like that Peloton song.
Let it go.
Because at this point, it is senseless and useless to try to convince people that these vaccines are safe.
Yeah.
Especially given the rhetoric that the previous administration, I'm working so hard not saying that man's name, was, you know, throwing around the fact that, oh, the vaccines don't work and blah, blah, blah. It's all, you know, fake and fake news and this and that. And now we're starting to see, you know, the effectiveness of these vaccines. Because while some people are coming up with what they call breakthrough cases, the severity of their reaction is not as severe as it would be had they not been vaccinated.
Correct.
So that is that. So congratulations to Pfizer, to all of Americans and people around the world. You know, consider getting vaccinated. If not for yourself, do it for others. You know, we have to do right by our neighbors and be mindful that this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. So, Nicholas, you have news, more political news.
Oh, am I going political or am I going?
Yeah, well, go political nice. I like this story.
Yeah, but I want to end something. Okay, no.
Well, go political. Well, go waiter nasty then.
Okay, good. All right, so we have seen plenty of these before where people, you know, don't tip.
Right.
Or they, you know, will write a specific note saying, like, I'm not tipping because you're gay or you're trans or whatever it is. Anyway, this story hit me hard this weekend because I worked on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had probably 50%, maybe a little bit more of my tabs were $0 in tips.
Right.
And I personally will never understand how you can go to an establishment.
Right.
Especially in America, where you know
tipping is the norm.
Is the norm, and that's how we make our money. And how you can ring up a tab, 40, 100, 200, and leave nothing. Like, it blows my mind. But that being said, the reason that this story hit me so hard was because, like, I kind of went through it this weekend, minus the nastiness that was on this fucking receipt. So anyway, a petty customer stiffed a waiter in Madison, Wisconsin. Instead of the tip, the loving Christian left behind a misspelled note. Service was good, but we don't tip sinful homosexuals.
Oh, God.
What would you do? What would you do if that happened to you?
As me being who I am, knowing the mouth that I have and the attitude that comes along with that mouth, I would probably be fired.
Oh, I would have been
100% fired.
I would have chased them the fuck out the restaurant.
I would have lost my job that day and I wouldn't even given the opportunity to get up from the table.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, like if your establishment that you're working for is behind you.
Right.
I don't think you would have lost your job. Like, I went through something similar when I was in Massachusetts, and they were like, Nick, you got to calm down. But we support you. You did the right thing.
Right.
But you got to calm down.
Yeah, definitely.
And we know.
But here's the thing. So here's a remedy for stuff like this. There should be an automatic at least 15% gratuity, or maybe 10. Automatic on any orders in the service industry.
Yeah, they normally do that for like parties of six or more.
Doesn't matter. It should be everything.
Yeah.
Right? Gratuity, if your job relies on gratuity, because you got to think about it. Okay, so minimum wage in some states went up to $15 an hour, but that's not the case for people who work in this industry. You make typically less because you rely on your tips to make up for the rest of that income.
And make $40 a shift.
Right. And this is allowed. And so some people may make less instead of making, you know, like the minimum wage, they make like $4 an hour.
Or less. Yeah.
Or even less than that. And you make up your revenue in tips.
Yeah. When I was a waiter in Mass, I was making $225.
How long ago was that?
It was like 8 years ago.
Right. So by instituting a policy in where if you are a consumer and you're going into a restaurant or you're going into an establishment and where tipping is at least 80% of the person's salary, there should be an automatic 10% tip added to any tab, period.
So there is a light at the end of the tunnel for this story, though. So in this case, the original bill where they left nothing was $142.95, which would give you about a $25 tip. If you tip appropriately.
Right.
Anyway, so this gentleman named Eric Salzweldel, I think that's right, started a group called Do Good Wisconsin, and he's been raising money to help, you know, pay for someone's gas or someone's coffee or people in need. Anyway, so he went to this restaurant and he had a tab of $45.10. And guess how much money he left for this waiter?
The tab?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Guess how much money he left on a $45 tab?
The $145 tab?
No. So
you're asking me to guess, bitch.
No.
Tell
so
me.
We had the $142 tab, right? Uh-huh. And they left no money. And then this guy that's been raising money for this good cause, you know, buying people coffee, gas when they're in need, went into this restaurant for this server, had a tab of $45.10. What do you think he left?
Did he leave him $1,000?
He left him $4,500.
That's amazing.
And this was all raised money. So it's not like it's his personal money, but like Amazing.
That's a gesture, and it's good. It's good, but it's still fucked up that you've got people who think that their religion allows them to put other people down, especially in public spaces, like that. I mean, that's discrimination whichever way you look at it. And it is, at this point, federally protected. There should be some, you know, repercussions for people like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't... I know we have to go to break soon, but yes. I can't comprehend how somebody, some a bigoted person could actually write that to somebody who's working so hard and serving them. You know what I mean?
But they do.
One time, I'll never forget it because I've been in the industry, obviously, my whole life. But one time, I had really bad service at this one restaurant, and I left 10%. Right. And I wrote a note on the receipt. And I never do that. I said, look, I work in the industry. I never leave less than 20%, but I really have to tell you that the service was not good. And right. I still left money, though. But I left 10%. You're nice
about it, though. You know, it wasn't discriminatory in any way. You expected a level of service, and that service wasn't provided. And you were honest about that. No different than going on Yelp and writing a review mm-hmm. that was respectful, but voiced what your concerns were regarding the service. That gives the owner an opportunity to make changes to better service, to better the customer service experience. But when you're nasty like this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Utter bullshit. All right. Well, listen, we want to be respectful. We do have a guest, and I'm excited. Yes, I'm excited for Maria Connor. She's going to join us shortly after our break. So we are going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, Maria Connor joins us. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. Just the same. They got a knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in the past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey. Station where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming, well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming, just the same, just the same, just the same, just the same.
All All right, ladies and gents, well, welcome back from the break. That, of course, was the amazing Amanda Barrick with her debut album, Wastelands, which is available on all the major music streaming services. Make sure that you go and support your LGBTQ plus artists, because that is important. And obviously, it's good for her as well. Right now, we are here with our guest of honor today. We are joined by none other than Maria Connor. She is the author of Girl Shock. We want to welcome you and thank you for joining us on today's episode.
Thank you so much. So excited to talk about what we share and what how we're different too.
Oh. So
that's my theme.
Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. We were having a conversation offline before we even went live on air. Yeah. And you were talking about, you know, hey, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, anal sex and the differences and what it means to someone like me or someone who's straight or someone who might be trans or whatever the case may be. And I think it would be a really good conversation to have.
Yeah, because what I was thinking as I was watching you at a podcast, I think your last one about anal sex, is I kept thinking, you know, I can learn a lot from gay men. I mean, I identify as a gay man, but my God, there's a whole like possible trove of information and joy. And I'm like, but I'm not gay. Right. I'm trans. But, you know, so there's stuff we share and stuff that is different.
Right. Right.
That's what made me think of it. Yeah.
Oh, and she has her cocktail, too. We do, too. You know, we got to make sure that we're ready for what the day brings.
It's actually apple juice. But I am going to be off to Martini's when we're done.
All right. Well, listen. If it's apple juice, no one needs to know.
Yeah, it's apple juice.
Well, Maria, thank you.
Integrity to me and absolute honesty is utmost importance, unless I get caught.
Right, right.
I don't think I'm going to get caught.
Funny story. I used to live in Massachusetts, and when I was working at this place, it was called Kripalu. I don't know if you know Kripalu. It's a yoga wellness center. And it was my last day, and I loved everybody that I worked with, but I wasn't really a fan of the company. And it was my last day, and we had this like meeting, this like staff meeting that I had to go to every week, where all the department heads would get together and talk about what's going on. And they were like, "You seem so happy today." And I'm sipping on my water bottle, and they were like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "It's vodka."
You told them you did.
I wasn't really drinking vodka, but it was.
You did. Well,
it was just funny.
The jokes can go in all different directions, you know.
Yeah, true.
So I'll tell you. Go ahead, dear.
Continue.
No, I was going to say, listen, let's talk a little bit about your book so that we can go ahead and let people know that you actually have this book and it's what we're here to do, because then I want to talk a little bit about butt talk. So first and foremost,
it fits right into the topic.
Right. First and foremost, this is Girl Shock. And basically how you describe your cover is Girl Shock. I dressed up as a girl for Halloween, but then she took over my life. Uh-huh. Let's talk a little bit about what this book is. And then we can move from there.
Yeah. And the subtitle is important because it says from straight to fabulous and naughty.
Ooh, baby.
So I never felt like I was a woman. I was a straight guy, you know, usual, you know, it's a little bit of kink here and there. And I mean, what straight guy isn't? Got divorced, was frustrated about living in the suburbs, you know, just this tech guy living outside of San Francisco, you know, and then like got divorced and moved to San Francisco and was just going to go out for Halloween just to do something different. I mean, I didn't want to be like moping around complaining to my friends, I'm so unhappy, girls don't like me. I'm like, I don't even want to go there. I'm getting on an airplane. I'm traveling to a different country kind of thing. I'm like, I'm out of here. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, so about 6 weeks before Halloween, I had this idea. Well, let me just go out a lot because I want it to be an amazing Halloween. I'm gonna cross dress, you know?
Right.
So I started going to the clubs and I had so much fun.
But I mean, like, who doesn't?
Like, I mean, like, but you got to realize where I came from. You know, like, imagine going from like big loserhood. I wasn't a loser, just that I'm working in tech, living in the suburbs, you know, hanging around with people who like to talk about wine and their lawns.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, it was agony. I went from just sheer hating life, agony, victimhood, getting divorced. Straight women are a pain in the ass. Well, straight dating's a pain in the ass, not women, men too. But anyway, to like, oh my God, this is so much fun. And people are looking at me like, hey girl, you're fabulous. I'm like, you talking to me? It took me like a long time to even accept that this was real.
So, right. Did you ever have any inklings when you were like when you were married that this was, you know, was this the reason your marriage failed or?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I've seen trans women before. Like, I grew up overseas, right? I'm from New Jersey, but my father ran safaris. He was a weirdo. Everybody in my town, either they were stockbrokers or they were mobsters, you know, or, you know, they work on Wall Street. My father ran safaris and took their money.
Okay. Well, that's...
And he was this zany guy, and we lived overseas, and I spent a lot of time in London. I saw my first transvestite there in Piccadilly Circus when I was 10 years old. And I had seen a lot of different things when I was a kid. I mean, he had diplomats all over. It was amazing going on safaris. My first thought was, yeah, you go, girl. You show them. I'm just – I sense this freedom, this – I can't even describe it. Maybe you guys know. Just this – I'm going to do what I want to do. Fuck everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that really, really turned me on.
There's a sense
so many ways.
Of strength and empowerment that comes with finding things that you're comfortable with and things that you can morph into, right?
Yeah. So I was aware of it at a young age. I mean, this thing I just described to you lasted maybe 10 seconds.
Right.
Wow.
Right. But it left me with such, and I think about how many children see me when I'm out playing piano, Golden Gate Park, I showed up, I walked into Golden Gate Park, they have these pianos there, and like 5 minutes later, I'm playing for 100 people. And I think about how many people have seen me, and I'm not anywhere near aware of the trail that I leave behind me. And this goes for everybody. I'm not just saying me, but I'm more aware of it.
Right. Because you're not only an author, you're also, you sing, you perform, you play piano. You are someone with so many talents and super talented too, and funny, by the way. So I knew that today's episode was going to be hilarious. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. And you're right. So when I went, so literally the book title describes it. I mean, I don't even think I even need a description to go above and beyond that. I literally was like, I was getting divorced, when, you know, started going out for Halloween, had so much fun, opened up so many doors, transformed my spirit so much, it just never stopped.
But when you look at, when you think about the path, right, from, you know, being a suburban heterosexual male to now a trans female, when was that happened? When was that moment that like shifted for you that you were like, this is me?
Yeah. That took a long time. What's weird is just think of two aspects of it. One part of it did not take a long time, that I had a female side to me. That was very, very quick because that was fun.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it was like literally in the first week. I mean, I'm in San Francisco. So, I mean, all these clubs, these drag shows, the fact that I could be a woman and have that part of me come out was very easy to accept. It was half of me, right?
Right.
But what really hurt was I met so many people as Maria. And whenever they met the dude, he's the guy in the book, like Bruce Wayne. I'm Batman or Batgirl and he's Bruce Wayne. You know, I was so invisible. And you could almost feel it from a superhero point of view, like when the Bruce Wayne meets the Joker.
Right.
Right. But he can't fight the Joker when he's Bruce Wayne. Right. You know what I mean? That's how I felt. I felt neutered. I felt so. And even women who really loved me as Maria, when they meet the dude, I'm like I'm taking off this mask. What a horror movie. Right. And although I didn't take any one of those personally because I understood it, when it kept happening over and over again. And then I realized how much people loved Maria. And then people are like, remember, this happens over a 10-year period.
Right.
And I began to realize, well, maybe you're just happier when you're Maria. I'm like, well, I'm happier when I'm Maria because people, I'm not invisible. And they're like, well, maybe you're not invisible because you're happier.
Right.
And I'm like, at the end of the day, I realized it just doesn't matter. Right. When you say to yourself, you know, look at the, I have this theory that when you discover who you are on the outside and reconcile with who you, how other people perceive you on the outside, and you reconcile with that, with who you think you are on the inside, that's when you discover who you really are.
Right.
It's when you reconcile those two. I don't choose how other people perceive Maria or Mark, or the dude.
Right.
But for some reason, they like her better. And at some point, I'm having more fun. At some point, it just doesn't matter.
But the important question becomes
that I was trans.
Right. The important question becomes, do you like her better?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's so much more fun wearing girl clothes.
Agreed. There's a lot more, you know, fashionable choices.
I mean, yeah, but the weird thing is, I do identify as a straight man, but I also identify as a T-girl, right?
Right.
A trans woman. So when I'm a straight man, I don't like wearing nice clothes. It's very gay to me to wear nice clothes, quite frankly. I'm just a guy I belong in Ohio. You know, I belong in hanging out with pilots. You know, I'm a pilot. Mm-hmm. You know, military people. He's a dude, right. You know, but I also like being a girl.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Everything's backwards to me, you know? Right.
So are you living, so you do identify as both, so you identify as a heterosexual man or a gay man?
And heterosexual man.
Okay. And then also a T-girl.
Yeah.
So what is it like living, do you feel like on a day to day, right? So what is it for you? Like, how do you, is today Maria? Is today Mark?
Oh, yeah. Like, good question. It's the dude. Call him the dude.
The dude. Sorry.
Yeah. Beep, beep. No, it's not that big of a deal. So it really depends on what I'm doing. If I'm going out to have fun, I am always Maria. Always. If I'm if I'm going out to perform, I'm always Maria. If I'm sitting at home, it's kind of 50-50.
Right.
Because I work at home, like a lot of us do. So sometimes I just wake up and I'm like, you know, I'm looking at my work schedule. I'm like, I got to be a real jerk today. I got to deal with some stuff. I'm like, I'd rather be Maria because I handle it better when I have both of us. Because when I'm Maria, I kind of have both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Right.
When I'm just him, I don't have her.
Right. But how do people react to that? Like, I mean, I think that for me, this is super fascinating because I know a lot of trans individuals that really, you know, they identify as trans and that's how they live their life. And what I'm hearing from you is that you kind of embrace both sides. So so when you're at work or when you're interacting with people, like what is that like when the dude shows up versus
it's all remote. I work in tech.
Okay.
I am 100% remote. I got teams in India.
So you're Europe. Like, today I'm going to be a cunt, so I'm putting my face on.
I got to sometimes just really come down hard on people.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, there's ways to come down hard. You know, let's assume they deserve it, which unfortunately, it's a long story. I won't get into it. Well, let's just say they do, right? There's a good way to do it. And there's a shitty way to do it.
Yeah.
And if I'm just him, if I'm just a dude, I'm just miserable. Life sucks when I'm a dude. Not through any choice of my own. I don't have her when he's sitting here. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lady next to me that I can cuddle. You know, I mean, I go home to so I need her sometimes to keep me more balanced. Because when I'm trans, I feel a lot more balanced. Mm-hmm. When I'm a guy, I feel like the victim thing, all that bullshit just starts floating up, you know, but that's the way I work when I'm a guy. Sometimes when I need to just get shit done.
Yeah.
The guy does it.
I will tell you, I love who Maria is as a person because I spent the better part of the last week watching a lot of your videos that you've been producing for all these interviews that you're doing and all these performances, which is why I know that you're an amazing performer and your piano skills are to die for, first and foremost. But I see how you interact with people. And so you're not your ordinary performer in the community, if we want to call it that. Like, you know, people, like you said in your bio, people expect Judy Garland. I don't want to give you that. I want to give you Black Sabbath. I want to give you this. I want to give you that. Like, you're hardcore fun, like gritty, and it's infectious. And I love it.
Oh, thank you. You should come to a live show. Where are you guys located?
We're located in Connecticut.
Oh, you are in Connecticut. I saw it in Atlanta or something. Yeah, great. I'm from New Jersey originally. Yeah.
Yeah, we literally just dodged a bullet with Henry or whatever we want to call that thing. But
yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And that really means a lot to me. I really, really appreciate that you spent the time. But just to recognize, you know, how important it is to sort of be natural.
Right.
To go deep, that kind of thing. It's something way to describe it. I can.
Yeah. So if we can just dive into a little bit, what was the inspiration of putting your experiences on paper.
Yeah. Probably the main inspiration, there's a couple ones. The main was just how fabulous the city is. I mean, I was having such an unusual life. It was just insane. It was just the city, the people, everything about it. I was like, you know, and my friends were like, you know, even some of my hardcore straight friends were like, you know, they would like, they would stop. They would, you know, even some of these Trumper friends, you know, would be like, I still have a few left, right? So, you know, they're talking about their politics. When I mentioned, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book about this trans thing, just they immediately changed topic. They don't want to talk about guns and politics anymore. Like, there were so many people that were curious. And as an entertainer, I know there are so many people that are curious. And I would get this sense of, like, this was a big deal to them to hear this thing that either they're curious about sexually or spiritually, or to see this other world. I was like, I just knew that I had to do it. You know, it's mm-hmm. like this, for the same reason that people like Maria better.
Right. Yeah.
I just realized in life, take the path of least resistance. When you have bad, negative energy people in your life, just walk away from them. Yeah. Just don't even engage. You know, give money to Facebook, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like, and we talk about this all the time, but it's almost like, as gay men or as, you know, a trans individual, we have a responsibility to be visible and educate people because,
yeah,
especially right now with the trans community, they're under fire constantly. It's like,
oh, yeah.
We need people like yourself to be out there telling their story so that people understand it better.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. And I've worked with a lot of trans groups, and, you know, people can roughly fit into two categories. One is that they think people should do this and people should do that. And a lot of that's true, but it's hard to disseminate that in a positive energetic wave, so mm-hmm. to speak, you know. But other folks take the approach, I'm just going to get out there and just be my best self and mingle with other people and just have a good time and spread good energy.
Yeah.
And that is an indirect message, but the power.
Right.
You know, for is so much more, and it's so hard to, unfortunately, in the community that's been persecuted, it's hard to get people to see that. I think the main reason why I can do that, maybe, that I'm really good at that, is because I'm also a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do get a lot of power out of that, just in terms of not sort of like I'm going to conquer the world, but I have a lot of stability. You know, I got a partner. I got somebody who trusts me, and it happens to be me.
Right.
He makes the money. He will just take care of things. He's a hatchet man if you need him to be. He doesn't like to do it, but he will take care of stuff and straighten stuff out. You know, and it's strange. It's like I feel like I'm living in two different worlds. I'm hanging out with trans people who don't feel as secure as I do, but at the same time, I'm still a trans woman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you found yourself, you know, walking through this awakening in your life, obviously at a later time in your life, what would you say to somebody? Because we've had, you know, plenty of conversations surrounding blockers and hormone therapy, especially for kids that are under the age of 18.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to get your opinion and your thoughts on, like, how would you approach somebody if they were, you know, say 14, 15, and they're like, this is what I'm thinking is going on. I want to, you know, I'm thinking about going on blockers. Like, what would you talk to them about to help coach them through?
Yeah. It's a good question. It's a real fascinating question. I mean, other than telling them to go see a professional, aside from that, I would probably say to them, two things. One is, I think what you're doing is great, and I would be very supportive. So that's obvious too. What I would say to them is, I think you need to live freely as yourself for a while before you decide anything that would be permanent. Right? Mm-hmm. A lot of these blockers and things, they may or may not be permanent. They may or may not be for you, and you should consider them. But consider just being yourself for a year, free of any people in your life that are not supportive, and really get to a good space first as yourself, see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then consider the hormones and things like that. But just consider it. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but just, that's my opinion.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's amazing because, you know, there's a lot of really good material in this book and a lot of stuff that you go really deep into your path and your how you got to where you are today. And you really talk about your experiences with people, people that you've met along the way, people that you've performed with. And one of the unique things that I noticed about your book, which I've never seen this in another book before, is that you have QR codes scattered all over this book, which take you directly to a performance that you're talking about. Right. Or describing. Yeah. So people can actually open their phone, scan the QR code, and it brings you to a YouTube video or some sort of like an informative place where you can go and actually experience what you're describing. It's incredible. I've never seen that before.
Thank you so much. Because I originally conceived of it as an ebook. Right. So I had the videos right in there. And then when I went to go to print, I said to my distributor, I don't understand why people don't have a multimedia print book, because I mean, you know, we live in 2020-21, you know, right? So that's why, and nobody knew anything about it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I was looking for like templates or the proper way to do this. And everybody I talked was like, well, nobody's ever done that before. I'm going to do it.
That's amazing. I mean, it's groundbreaking because it takes the level of interaction with a paper book, with a hard copy book, and now you're incorporating different avenues and ways in which people can experience your experience, right?
Yeah, and I also wanted people to see the Under the Golden Gate series, because I have like over 600 videos,
right?
And you really get to meet other people in the community. Mm-hmm. And that, if I were to say, if there's one reason why I really wanted people to see the videos, is I don't want to, at some point you're tired, you don't want to be hearing me say, and I want you to hear from the people that inspired me,
right?
You know, they're part of the story.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You
know? And I'm proud of them. I'm really proud of them. Truly. They're like my family.
This is revolutionary stuff right here. I mean, what you're doing and incorporating, you know, a digital aspect of that right from the hard copy is awesome. Honestly, I've never seen that before.
I really appreciate that. You know, and and it was really great. And I met so many amazing people, and I even have a few rock stars in there too. Mm. Which, of course, I end the book with rock and roll wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Rock and roll wisdom.
So I have one more personal question before we move into butt stuff or anything else you want to talk about the book. But my last personal question is, you know, you talk about coming from this heterosexual suburban lifestyle. When you left that world, did any of that world come with you? Are people still supportive of you in that world?
Good question. Yeah, they're, first of all, the short answer is they're absolutely supportive of me. I was really, really surprised how I can't even think of anybody. Here's funny. I can think of one person. I can only think of one distant friend who went negative on me, right? Ironically, he's also the same guy I busted at Divas, the transsexual bar. You know, I don't think I need to say more about that one. The irony was, some of the guys, the military guys, the ones who I was like, if I come out to them, you know, they're probably going to, you know, like one guy, this guy, Steve, he's like a man's man, you know, the Midwest, and his reaction, I'm expecting him to disown me. He goes, dude, that's fucking awesome. And he wanted me to dress him up. He picked a girl name. I'm like, everything was the opposite of what I expected. The problem is, there's a downside to that, or darker side, which is that I think some folks are afraid to engage, come to a show, mm-hmm. you know, when they come to visit the city. Like, you know, God, you've been here four times, and every time you made a reason why you couldn't come, because they're either afraid or they feel like they might get caught.
Right.
You know, other folks are like, oh, they're all over it, you know? So there's this sense, I definitely get a sense of fear mm-hmm. in some
right.
Probably because they probably think they have all these images from Hollywood of what this means for me.
Yeah. It's actually so beautiful to hear you say that, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people have not so great stories about coming out and losing a lot of their past relationships and a lot of their friends. But but I feel like your energy and the way you embrace Maria, I could, like, if I were your friend, I'd be like, no, they finally found themselves. That's, like, it's
that's
like,
that's probably true. There's probably a lot of truth to that, because the one thing the one premise I had started from the very beginning was, I am not going to be in the closet about this thing. No effing way.
Right. And you shouldn't have to.
And I just had a history in my past. Like, come on, I spent a lot of time in Africa, went on safaris and shit when I was a kid. To me, just taking it out and just like boldly going, you know, grabbing the lightsaber out. Like one of my favorite sort of images or memes would be when somebody starts fucking with you. Whoosh, that's all right. Right, you know, like let's do it,
honey. You brought the lioness home from Africa.
But I admired those lionesses. That's a whole other thing. But I think that in part of it is because I decided to do that. Now, could everybody do that? Probably to a large extent.
Yeah,
because when you just literally just direct your energy at people who are positive and just say, you know, it's the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Right. You know, it's like, you know, if you live that and you, you know, and I think that's what really helped is that I had the choice. I just would not engage in anybody who was negative. I just won't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that certainly comes through in your work. Like I said, I went into a Maria Connor rabbit hole. I was like, video.
It was like TikTok. He wouldn't stop texting me.
I was like, oh my God, you got to see this video.
I'll meet up with you and buy you some drinks.
Oh my God. If we're ever in San Francisco and, you know, we've got a very large following in California, and I think, you know, eventually we'll get out there and do some sort of live show. But if we're ever down there, we have to come and see you perform because you are. 100%. Truly, gifted and talented. Sure. So, and we'll definitely post a lot of the videos on tonight's post so that people can see and experience Maria Connor in her element. It would be great and amazing. And you do a lot of the people that you're interviewing, the things that you're doing. Your work at Folsom, by the way, is just incredibly creative and funny. I just have to tell you that.
Those original songs, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think Tom might be falling in love with you.
Oh, why not? Why not? So great. The book, Girl Shock. We're going to definitely make sure we have a link where you can grab the book and read it for yourself. You know, it's basically your story. This is your journey moving to San Francisco. And I think people, there's a lot to gain from what you've written in this book. And also don't forget to scan those QR codes and watch those videos because those are great too.
And MariaConnor.com. You can get the with a K, MariaConnor.com, and you can get the book. It's an ebook on Amazon and, Apple and Barnes and Noble, or you can get the print book. If you get the print book, better to order from my distributor because we don't give the channel too much money.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but go to bookstores. You know something? I support bookstores too. You know something? Forget what I just said. Go to the bookstores.
Right.
The independent bookstores, yeah.
I look at it this way. We got you, girl. We're going to have all the links, you know, where people can find the book and obviously your information stuff, all of your social media presences. So if they want to engage with you, they can do that as well. And now we can talk about butts. What do you got, girl? What do you want to know?
So there are a couple of things I haven't really done to my satisfaction.
Okay.
Okay.
Two guys. I haven't done enough butt sex, right?
Okay.
And, when I was listening to the last podcast about it, I realized that there's a certain the freedom about having it, being able to have butt sex and have intimate sex with a guy for me, that almost like I feel like I'm a teenager, maybe who's trying gay sex for the first time. I don't know. I was thinking about that, how much I can learn from gay men and the fact that we share something here, very intimate, even though I'm not a gay man.
Right.
And I was wondering the feelings that I feel about learning more about butt sex and having more and getting into that, what I could learn from guys like you, but what also, while also sharing our different perspectives on intimacy with men, what do we have in common and what is different and what can we learn from each other or take our experience, you know, joy by just, you know, taking our perspectives. That's what I'm thinking about, that topic.
Well, first and foremost, it's very important to recognize that the ability to use your anus or your butt as a means to pleasure yourself is universal. Yeah. It's not specifically for gay people or trans people or straight men or women. Anyone can really find pleasure in playing with your anus if done correctly.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of straight men, by the way, are afraid of that pleasure.
If only they knew.
Yeah.
If only they knew that by stimulating your butt and the possibility of engaging with your prostate would probably result in very amazing orgasms, they'd probably change their mind.
Look, if it's done right, I don't even have to touch myself.
Really? Wow.
100%.
So I am curious, though, however. So you, as the dude, identify as a straight man. And then as Maria, you identify as a trans woman. So if
and a bottom.
Oh, so, proud of you, girl. So my question becomes, if you were to explore the possibility of going into anal sex, would you do it as straight the dude or would you do it as Maria?
As Maria? Definitely Maria. There's no doubt. I've done it a few times, right? But each time it was difficult, you know, it hurt, you know, and I was able to do a little bit of penetration. You read about it in the book, right? But you know, I'm like still in first grade.
Mm-hmm. So
I shouldn't use children's terms, but you get the idea.
So what I would say to you is if you're having a hard time with actually receiving the full penis and the full experience, do you play with toys at all? Any like?
Yes, I've played around with dildos.
Okay. Any butt plugs?
No, I haven't done blood plugs.
Okay. So if you get, so they, even at bespokesurgical.com, I think they have it, or futuremethod.com, they have different sizes, right? So you can literally get a butt plug and put it up inside yourself before you play. Okay. And you can gradually work up to a larger size if need be, but you really need to relax your anus before you accept it. Because what's happening is you have pretty tissue, much three muscle. Layers of muscle that you have to get through. The first one is the easiest one, but then you're going to hit the last two. And that's when your body's going to clench up and push everything out until you relax. So using a butt plug will help you beforehand.
You know what receive. I need? I think I need like the – that's good advice, right? And what I was thinking was if I had – the problem is girls like me, for whatever reason, or me in particular, I don't really have a steady guy. I have a few. I had a few, but it's hard having a steady guy. And to me, having a guy, you know, do anal on me is kind of getting intimate, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Meaning kind of like somebody I see on a regular basis. Right.
Right, yeah.
Just because I want to work slowly. I don't want to be with somebody, come on, open up. I want to get laid. I want somebody where they can enjoy the ride with me and would be patient. Right. Of course, doesn't everybody want that? But then that means I'd have to have a relationship with a man, that kind of relationship with a man, which I'm open for. But the very idea of having that kind of relationship with a man as a straight man is a very new experience. It's intimacy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of our community, though, right? Fluidity, right?
Yeah.
When you get to that point, maybe the dude is going through a phase in where he wants to be more fluid.
Yeah.
Right? So as a person, as a person, your experiences and who you think you are is constantly evolving, and maybe the dude is going through this phase and where he wants to maybe see if he needs to evolve to give Maria a run for her money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. So if I were a gay man, it would be easier for me to have that kind of relationship just to attract somebody just because of the sheer probability. But since he's a straight man, would never even do that. I don't even know if I could do that. I don't know.
Well, I have to say one thing. I mean, when it comes to Tom and myself, we're different in the sense that, I mean, we joke on the show all the time that I'm a whore, but I'm really not. Like, I generally don't have sex unless I'm in a relationship. It's very intimate to me. I also think that kissing is more intimate than sex can be, or penetration, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So it takes a lot for me to have a one night stand. I've had a couple over the years, but nothing crazy. Mainly it's, you know, generally I'm in a relationship. So I completely get where you're coming from, with the exception of, you know, the T girl versus the hetero man. Have you ever thought about having a female partner put on a strap on?
Oh, I have had that. I had two women, you know, can I use terms like fuck me in the ass?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. You can say motherfucker.
I've had two girls fuck me in the ass. You know what it is? I'm not attracted to men. I like feeling like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to me like, I'm not interested in a woman fucking me. I want a man to fuck me because it makes me feel like a woman.
Right.
It makes me feel, I like being taken away from the straight world. I like neutering him, the dude.
Yeah.
Well, and if I do it with a guy, the more time, every time a guy comes in my mouth, and soon, hopefully, the more guys that fuck me in the ass, the weaker he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm private. I'm not saying that other people should treat their male side that way. I'm just saying that's what I want for whatever reason.
And that's important, right? What you need as a human, as an individual, is very important. And yeah. Whether those experiences are happening to the dude or they're happening to Maria, in the end, they're still your experiences, right? And they so...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You should, you know what? There is a great podcast. It's called, what is it? By Curious? Am I?
By the By?
By the By. By the By podcast. And yeah. These guys, we've had them on the show before. They're amazing. They're a married couple and they interview a lot of bisexual couples that are, some of them are swingers, some of them are not, but expanding the concept of what intimacy and sexuality could be for you, even if it is a woman and a man in the bed with you, can maybe make that experience more relaxed, more comfortable, more intimate. Or maybe you find somebody that you can swap with, that you can have a consistent relationship with, yeah. Right?
Yeah, these are really good points. And these are the kind of things where another big thing I found out in life is that when you want to get to, you know, sort of like a mid-level of achievement where you're on anything, you know, fulfillment, you know, you don't have to work that hard. You just have fun. Everything's good. But when you want to get to the next level, mm-hmm. there's a point when you have to seek it out, right. You know? And, I'm so used to, you know, getting to that first level, like just being myself, that sometimes I forget to actually seek something out and make an effort to do it. And that's really good advice. Cause I do have some friends that know some sex clubs and just swinger type things. And I send him an email, he didn't get back to me, but I can just easily just send him another one instead of just giving up.
Yeah. I mean, literally one of my closest friends is bisexual and he has been through the gamut of looking for different communities to find a way to not only maintain his relationship, but satisfy himself. And it's been tough for him, but he has found different communities in different areas where he's lived. And I think that there is a community and there's, you know, a sexual need for everybody. I think that maybe that's a pathway for you, or maybe you just need to find somebody and get fucked real hard.
I know what it's like. I'm thinking like, you know, so maybe I just need to be a gay guy or something like that. I don't know.
But see, here's the beauty of this. You can be whatever you want. You've already proven that, right? Mm-hmm. By taking that courageous journey and becoming Maria, you prove that you can be whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. And no one can tell you that you are not who you know you are, right?
I want to be. I know what I want to be. You're right. I want to be a T-girl who fucks a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
100%.
And those experiences, whether they happen to the guy or the dude or they happen to Maria, they're still yours. And they're for you to enjoy. And you can make it whatever you want to be. So, I mean, if you want to get fucked up the butt by a guy as Maria, great. That's an amazing experience. But if you think that, you know, the dude at some point in time is thinking, maybe I have a little bit more fluidity in my sexuality and I want to explore this as well, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I will say that there is a whole, like, we know plenty individuals like this, but there is a whole demographic for men who don't necessarily identify as gay men but enjoy and or seek out relationships with T-girls because they can get everything they want in that. They can get the femininity. Yeah, they can get the femininity, they can get, you know, the masculinity, they can get everything they want in that one experience. Right. So, I mean, they're out there.
Well, another motivation for me writing the book, too, was I know from experience that there are a ton of straight guys who want to explore.
Oh, right.
Straight girls who want to read about it. Like I tell people jokingly, and I'm really actually serious, but I make it a joke, the biggest untapped market on the planet is the curious straight person.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
We're talking about 80% of the population, of which 80% is untapped. Afraid.
I can tell you that the majority of your first experiences in life when it comes to sexuality, especially in our community, are with self-proclaimed straight men.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I know a guy who his specialty is hooking up with gay men, is hooking up with straight guys.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a thing.
They always say, they really, really enjoy it. They really appreciate the sex. It's so much fun.
And it's hot. I mean, there was a point in my life. It's
hot, yeah.
There was a point in my life where I had sex with more straight men than gay men. Now that that scale has tipped.
Right.
But there was.
You said you weren't a whore, right?
What?
I thought you said you weren't a whore.
I was. I'm not a whore. I mean, it was. Okay, like, okay. It was consistent sex with individuals that were straight.
Okay, right. Got it.
Right. Me, on the other hand, I was very promiscuous at my in my youth, and I loved it. You know,
youth, bitch, you put your butt out the bathroom window during COVID fucked.
No. I had the person put the butt through the window so that I could do the fucking while COVID was happening, so that we weren't in the same space. Get that right.
You know what I want to ask? One more thing I definitely want to ask before we how much time we have left?
Whatever time you need, babe.
Okay, good. So this is another thing that I was thinking about. So I was thinking about the things we have in common, like, you know, butt sex can be fun and be yourself and all that kind of stuff. But I thought about what's different, right? And I thought to myself, when I have butt sex with somebody, mm-hmm. There's a certain level of freedom that I feel from not being straight. Right. I'm not attracted to men. I'm not really into the dick. I love the freedom because I don't know if you realize how much easier it is to get laid as a gay man or a trans woman than a straight man.
Oh, of course.
You guys have any idea? Do you really, really understand that? This way, you grok it. Do you know what grok means?
No. Explain.
What's that?
Explain.
Grok is a little code word that a lot of sci-fi people like. The book Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein from the 60s described grok as not just understanding, but drinking in somebody's soul.
Okay.
So you really, really get it.
Mm-hmm.
You can experience it through them, and you can deeply understand decisions they make and why. That's what it means to grok something.
I feel like I do that every time I like perform oral sex.
Oh yeah.
Like I grok everything. Like I absorb yeah, that human. I suck it all in. Right.
Well, the first time I sucked a dick, then I couldn't believe that the rhythm, the big vein. But anyway, let me get back to my topic. So
no, I think you're 100% right. I think it's also, you have to look at it like this. I mean, it's in the gay community at least, we're men. We want to have sex all the time. Mm-hmm. We think about sex constantly.
But do you know what it's like to be a straight man who almost never gets laid and is always frustrated?
I'm a gay man who hasn't gotten laid in over a year and a half. I get it.
Oh, you do? But still, do you, the numbers, like sometimes I would go for 5 years.
It's much easier in the gay community or in the LGBTQ+ community to engage sexually because by nature, our community is a very open community. We like to engage people and we're very touchy feeling and we're very engaging physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah. I don't have any of that as a straight man. So I was wondering, to me, getting fucked in the ass and being able to take it is about freedom.
Mm-hmm. So why do you feel
you know,
like
from straight relationships?
Why do you think that you go so long without having sex? Is it because of that intimacy aspect where you don't necessarily want to open yourself up to somebody for a one night stand and you can't find somebody? Like, what is it that holds you back?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, my short answer is at some point it doesn't matter. That's where I go with where the universe has led me. And I don't try to figure these kind of things out, but I have asked myself that question in the past. Right. And I really don't know the answer. I can say to you that the dude, very much prefers is a very romantic person and doesn't like flirting at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really into one night stands. I've done them, but I really, really cherish romance very right. much. It's very, right. very deep. I'm a musician, right? You know, I play jazz piano. It's very, very precious to me.
Right.
And that has actually hurt me so much. That I just I can't go there anymore.
Right. When it comes to the actual act of like intercourse or sex, would you prefer to be the dude or Maria?
Oh, I definitely prefer to be the dude with a woman. Oh yeah. I tell people ask me how would I describe my, I actually wrote about this in the book. One at the very end, how would I summarize my sexual experiences to date? Right. I would say for me, this is just me, the fantasy of being with a man or a T-girl is much better than the reality. For me, I'm not really wired to be with men. I don't really like the way they smell. I don't like the way they feel. I don't really like touching a man. So the fantasy is really what I'm after, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to women, as a man, honestly, it's really sad when it's true. The reality of being with a woman, for me, is so much better than the fantasy. Hmm. You know? But I don't have a lot of opportunity.
Well, there's nothing there. It is what it is, right?
I'm really feeling this. I'm honestly really feeling this like swinger by track for you. It makes sense. Okay. It makes sense to me because you can be the dude, with a woman and a man at the same time and find yourself to be vulnerable enough to not only fuck, but be fucked in the same space.
Yeah, maybe. I've never done that. I don't think I'd want to do it with somebody I was romantically involved in with, right? Just because I kind of just want to be I prefer to just be in a straight relationship.
Well,
very simple, traditional straight relationship. I just happen to have this other thing I do, you know, but I don't know.
All I can say is this, the world is your oyster. Mm-hmm. Let that thing open up.
That's the part that I'm too caught up on.
Right.
I'm afraid of what she's going to think of him.
But again, these are your experiences. So all you have to do is just try something and go for it. And
I actually had that. Was comfortable with that with my dominatrix. I have my dominatrix. I wrote about in the book, and she's a genetic woman. Her name is Eve Minax, and she's a fantastic person. She's just such a, you know, she's a professional dominatrix, and I was very comfortable seeing both sides. And right. I was romantically interested in her, but she wasn't interested in the dude. Every time I came over as the dude, she wanted like to put makeup on me. And I didn't want to be with her as a man. I'm as a woman. I wanted to be with her as a man, but she didn't want me there as a man. I'm having the same problem right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Same problem I have. It's ridiculous.
It just sounds so tough to me, honestly. I mean, like, you clearly have embraced Maria and she is very important to you. And she really... brings out so much power in you, but there is this other side of you that needs to be fulfilled as well. So, I mean, you're in this weird place where it's like, you're constantly teetering with, you know, how can I fulfill, you know, both Maria and the dude? How can I move forward in life and like find love and also do this when it's okay or when I want to and be this when I want to. I think you're in I'm not going to lie, like a difficult spot. This has been a really interesting and awakening conversation for me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, cause it's like, thanks for being my therapist for an hour. Right. I actually end the book with this question because I do say, you know, that if I had the sex change, you know, that could mean just getting breasts or getting everything done. That would take care of the problem because I wouldn't have to be faced with this dilemma.
Right.
Right. And then at the end of the day, the only reason that would stop me from seriously considering right now is it's so much easier to make money as a man.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things that are facilitated by having and being male in certain spaces. Right. And it's interesting that you mentioned that because the way this book ends, it's sort of kind of like open ended. Right. Like you want people to sort of kind of help and contribute in your story and how you move forward. And I think that's also an amazing thing to do.
I was curious at the end. Part of my motivation, this wasn't the primary motivation, but I realized at the end, I presented with the audience with two options. I would like to hear what people think I should do.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I don't know if that'll influence me. It probably will. I'm more of a curiosity.
Right.
But there may be some wisdom that comes out of it.
Right.
Because, you know, one thing I learned about life, and we all do, is that don't solidify your expectation of where your life's going to go and what it's going to mean.
Right.
Don't cling on to anything. And I never seriously considered ever becoming a woman with breasts and everything, but that shouldn't stop me from considering it.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, like I said, life is fluid and we are forever evolving. And all I can say to you, my contribution to an additional chapter of this book, an addendum if we must, is say that do what makes you feel good, because life is short. Mm-hmm. We're not here way too long.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
right.
If something feels good, do it.
Yeah, that's very similar to the rock and roll wisdom I got at the end. But the woman I was interviewing, the rock star I was interviewing, I won't name her, added a little extra to that. And it really is. I put her at the end, her quote at the end, because I realized this was amazing hearing. Mm-hmm. I literally said, I'll tell you what the question was. I'm sitting next to a rock star and I'm interviewing her. It's on video. Right? I don't know if you saw that sequence.
No. I mean, I saw you interview a lot of individuals in the videos, but I'm not sure if I got to the rock star.
Yeah. So this was the last video in the book. And I said, wow, I'm sitting here with a rock star. I've always wanted to ask a rock and roll star this question. What does rock and roll mean to you? And her she paused and she was clearly thinking about it. And wow, did it pack a punch?
Yeah.
So, of course, you have to buy the book to hear it.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, and what I would say to you is that as both myself and Tom and everybody that normally sits at this table with us, life is a journey and we should never settle and we should always accept that we're constantly changing. And I love the fact that you're so vocal about how you've embraced that. Like you're literally in this moment of, or you have been in this moment of growth and change and acceptance of different parts of yourself. That takes a lot. That takes a lot to go through. And a lot of people don't understand. Like a lot of people will just shut that side off. But like, we really need to continue as individuals to grow and embrace whatever it is that we face in a year from now or 5 years from now. Cause you never know you're going to be
right.
And the thing is, interesting, when my first thought of that is that we all can do that, but I got to really think about how fortunate I was to have so many people around me that were supportive. My father for taking me around the world and just being a zany guy, you know, my mother for giving me basic fundamentals, my family for supporting me, San Francisco for being here, the San Francisco community for being so fabulous. Mm-hmm. People like you for asking really great questions and being really interested in history, in our history and our, and the gayness and the trans, but at the same time having fun, you know, it's really been a blessing.
Yeah. This has been,
and I was able to do this.
Yeah. No, you're amazing. This has been an amazing conversation and we're definitely going to have you back on 100% because we need to follow up on all of this.
Right. I feel like there's a couple of more chapters.
My point is if I can be successful enough where I can like get a job or do something as Maria, where I don't have to have the dude making money, that would hopefully be the next big, big part of the.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this much, Miss Maria, there are a lot of LGBTQ centered in, corporations and entities out there that are looking for nothing more than someone that can help them out on the IT side. So don't sell yourself short. Keep your horizon, you know, in front of you so that you can see that, stay level and follow it, because out there somewhere, there's no one there. There's nothing more than someone looking for someone like Maria that brings that talent, that expertise, but also is such an amazing, beautiful and joyful and spreading joy type of person. And I think that you could actually do both.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks for the thoughts. I mean, it's like my viewpoint is I wish that doesn't have to be tech.
Yeah, no, I was literally going to follow up what Tom said, saying that I don't think Maria is tech. I think Maria is a speaker. I think Maria is a consultant. I think Maria is somebody that is going to go out there and make waves and teach people what it means to be fluid and what it means to be T and hetero and what this all means for families and kids that are growing up with these concepts that they don't understand. Maybe Maria is 100% different from the dude. Maybe Maria is a force of change in the world.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. So it's like, I love both the ideas. And it's like, you know, and you know, the truth about tech is that there's always going to be tech in a lot of big things. Right. It doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know, hardcore tech. And that's really inspirational what you both said. I mean, it really, you know, it's like, you know, we're so used to being victims. Like we go through three phases in our life, mm-hmm. the way I see it. And I'm hopefully entering the third phase. And always the first and third phase are very similar. First phase is you're young. You're very optimistic. You think anything can happen. You think you're here for a purpose. You believe in Star Wars and the Force and all that good stuff, right?
I do.
You know, and that's what keeps you going in times of, you know, stress or uncertainty. Then you enter the world and you realize the world's all fucked up. And, you know, I don't have to explain that one to you. Right?
You go through shit.
And then, you know, you do all these creative things, these other things are passing. Nobody cares what you're doing. It's all bad. And then you get jaded and it's not the other thing. And then if you make it to the third phase, which a lot of us don't, you realize that what you thought in the first phase is actually true, right? It's just that nothing's perfect and that you've learned so much in the process and you have more power than you think you have mm-hmm. to stay with things that are positive. That when you enter that third phase, you see the beautiful child and the spirit we all share, but at the same time, you see the jaded guy, almost like the girl and the guy, and you know you need both of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
100%. I'm jaded as fuck, and I'm broken and hurt, and I've been through hell and high water, just like Tom. But at the end of the day, every time I walk away from something like a bad situation where you lose a loved one or you come out and you get kicked out or whatever it is, there's always, you know, whether it's 6 months, a year, 2 years, there's always a silver lining. There's always something you learn from it and you can take and walk away from that, you know, situation and be like, that made me a better person and that mm-hmm. made me the person I am today.
It's weird because for me, phase three, and I'm slowly emerging as I'm getting older now into that.
Girl, you're
phase.
In phase four.
Oh, she's nasty. I will cut you.
It's time to just hedonism before I die, right?
No, but the interesting thing is that as I'm emerging into phase three, I'm starting to look back at all the shit that happened in phase two, and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Why did I let that affect me? Yeah, right. Yeah, you get to that point in time where you're just like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I'm gonna worry about me. I'm just going to really enjoy my friends, those people that I've allowed to be in my inner circle. And honestly, why did I have to like think that that was all like serious? So I'm seeing a lot of that. But you're right. There's a lot to be learned from phase two in your life. Right. Because those moments are what gives you the strength to make it to phase three. And teach you.
And then what helps in phase three is what you guys basically just did to me, is that you reminded me of that we're all, I'm great. We're all great. We all have the potential to just, you know, do these wonderful things with our life. And, you know, to be reminded of it, you're in phase three, you know, it needs constant reinforcement, mm-hmm. you know, especially as you're entering phase three. Mm-hmm. You know, and so talking to you guys and just hearing, you know, your deep questions and deep, you know, thoughts on this is really, really, really powerful for me. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, even as an entertainer, I still love when people tell me they enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much, Miss Maria. The fact that this exists is going to change some young person's life that's going through the very exact thing that you went through. Your life experience is in this book.
Yeah.
And if you can take away one thing, is knowing that eventually someone's going to read this book and it's going to change their life mm-hmm. for the better. So,
yeah, that's right. And the funny thing about it is they don't even have to be trans. Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right.
Right.
So,
you know, it's because to me, it's universal themes. It's themes about male versus female. To me, it's a male versus female thing, you know, and really, really appreciate that. You know, appreciate the time, you guys.
So I always do this, and Tom hates it, but I have two more things.
Right.
So first, what are your hopes and dreams for this book?
Yeah, good question. I think if I would love to do just what you were describing. I would love to be able to speak in front of people, to use it as a way to just, I'd love to just travel around the world, you know, with my guitar and piano and just, you know, meet people and speak with them and, you know, use this as a way to, you know, to get an audience to talk to folks, you know, so that would be the dream. How I make money, figure that out. Plus I can work remotely in my job anyway.
Yeah. Right.
And
that,
The last thing I want to say to you, and I know you said it a couple times, is that the dude makes the money. Well, let me tell you, honey, the world is changing and the women can make the money. Believe me.
That's right. Maybe she can do it in a way that is, you know, is much more fulfilling.
Yeah.
I just got to believe in it. I have to believe it's possible, you know, and have a little patience.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, women are taking over the world and you are at the perfect time to embrace it.
Right. Seriously.
You're right. I really think I used to be a lobbyist too, right? As a man. And I can tell you, I can assert this with a high degree of confidence that if we don't find a better male and female balance, in other words, more women are in power and more men allow their feminine side, or the men who are more feminine can get more powerful. If we don't do this, we're all going to die.
Right.
We need to do this.
We need to embrace our differences. If we don't embrace the differences within ourselves, then the world won't change. We won't grow as a people. And we will. I mean, we've already seen it with Black Lives Matter. There are movements happening around the world because we are starting to say, no, you need to embrace my difference. You need to embrace the reality that I am, yes, human, but I am not like you because I have this difference, but we are alike because of this. Right. And that's why we need to be together and work together. So I
consider that to be a feminine characteristic.
Yeah.
It's something you can't prove. I can't prove that that's important.
Yeah.
That's the feminine. You can't prove that the feminine nurturing and the loving is as important, if not more important, than the male getting shit done.
I will say, oh my God, we're going to keep going. We got to end this show. But I will say that there's an amazing TED Talk, and I talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I talk about it because the way it's presented, there's a doctor, and he has 5 kids. The oldest one is gay. Now, through his TED Talk, there's a lot of research about the fact that usually the youngest child of a large family is gay. And if historically you look at that, it's because at a certain point, the family needs to stop breeding, right? And have somebody that's going to keep the family together and nurture. So that person becomes gay. Now, in this circumstance, the oldest son was gay, and that happened because in his circumstance, the mother was going through chemo and had cancer when she was pregnant and needed healing and love. And so the oldest son was gay. So it's all about hormones. So I really think that you're right. I think it is the feminine characteristic. And I think that the LGBTQ+ community and the gay community are so very vital. And that's why we haven't evolved out. We haven't, if there was something wrong with, you know, our community, we would have been, you know, it would have evolved out, but we haven't evolved out because the world needs healing and love and community and connection. And so I really think that's why, you know, the gay community is so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could talk about this for hours, but
it's an important part of evolution.
Yeah.
Right.
It's part of evolution. It's part and parcel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm totally going to send you that YouTube link. You got to watch it. It's such a great TED Talk.
I love this stuff because I really think that you know, our society, we've hit obviously an inflection point, you know, in our society. And if we don't embrace this thing that most people want, I really think they do. We just, there's just a power structure that is kind of awkward.
Like Nick said, I just think we have a heads up on the conversation now, right? We have people's ears perked up and people are listening. And so while they're listening, we need to be as vocal and as visible as possible, because I say this all the time, as a community, visibility will always be our biggest strength.
Yeah.
If we cower down and go hide in a cave somewhere, we'll never get anywhere. But if we go out there and we show them that we are persistent, we matter, and we must be here, and we give ourselves the respect that we deserve, then eventually they'll have no choice but to say, you know, this makes sense, and we need to respect them as humans. And I think that that doesn't come without fighting.
And I think,
I think people, young people in particular, probably need to trust faith. I mean, think of the word faith. What does faith mean? It doesn't mean God necessarily. It means like belief without proof, something that you intuitively know is true. It's your feminine side. Like, you know, there's faith. Like when I was younger, I had tremendous feeling of divinity living in Africa, right? I had faith. When you look at the African landscape, when you look at the babies and the lions and the lionesses and the ecosystem, I mean, when you're a kid, it's just, to me, that's divinity.
Yeah.
Right.
Faith that we live in an alive world that works. Mm-hmm. And when I would go to Israel and hear the rabbis talk, you know, it's like, fuck are you talking about? In the temple, it's not fucking faith there. You know, when you look at, you know, faith in connecting with somebody who's in pain or who's different than you, you know, who's gay or whatever, the faith that you're touching their soul is so much more powerful than all this religious bullshit, which, you know, has been infected by people in power.
Right. Of course.
You know, and it's like, I really think people should be redefine what they mean by the word faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's your soul.
Well, there's a big difference between religion and organized religion and spirituality, right? Because spirituality can be many things. It can be you're in tune with Mother Earth. You're in tune with your elements, the elements that you're surrounded with and the people that you're surrounding with and have nothing to do with religion.
Yeah. And by the way, this would be a good note to end on. I do have some comic strips in the book. Right?
Yes, I've seen those. And they're very colorful and well illustrated, by the way.
I just thought of this. There's a whole set of comics at the beginning, 9 pages in color. See the color comics?
Yeah.
Is about what was my life before I became Maria? And one of the last panes, I think it's the second to last page, I talk about my experience going to Jerusalem and what I learned about faith and climbing the spiritual mountain. And the irony of what I found.
Yeah.
I just realized that that's an interesting, you just have to read it.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at that very last one now. And yeah, it's pretty, pretty impactful.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And, you know, basically people got drawn, the power of going to a place like Jerusalem was, this is the irony of it. People got drawn to Jerusalem to try to seek something, right? And you were around a lot of seekers. Mm-hmm. These are not people looking to party. I've never been to a place where so many people were seeking. But the bullshit detector has to be on.
I'm literally just looking at that right now.
There's so much fucking bullshit there.
Yeah.
But the irony was, when I went to this event, and I just could not stand listening to this rabbi bullshit. And I start leaving, and my wife at the time said, "Oh, come on, you're not gonna walk out in the rabbi. I can't listen to his bullshit anymore." Right? As I'm walking out, there's a bunch of, I went to go to the coffee room, and there's a bunch of people in the coffee room, and they couldn't listen to his bullshit either. Most people could, but they couldn't. So right. The people that A, were drawn there to begin with, and B, made it through the bullshit filter, that's where I found the gold.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I needed to be a tractor, but I needed a filter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And that really is how I felt about it.
And I think sometimes filters work. It's an amazing thing to filter through life, because you leave behind all those impurities, what you don't need, and you only take what you want.
And you come out with some real gold when you really know who do you support and who do you want to spend your time with. One of my friends, again, I know we got to go. One of my friends was a T-girl who has a girlfriend. When he's a man, just similar to me, keeps complaining about his girlfriend. And I said, you know, so-and-so, I said, you know, honestly, just, I'm sick of hearing it. I don't want to hear it anymore. I leave toxic relationships. My new rules, you know, 10 years ago, I had new rules. I just won't even engage in them. Right. You know, you just need to walk away. Otherwise I don't want to hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's you a know? Phase 3 trait, by the way.
It's a what?
It's a phase 3 trait.
It is. You just, I'm sorry, he says, but you are surrounding yourself with bad karma. Yep. And I'm not going to be an enabler to this. I said to him, you and I are living in completely different worlds. He's trying to make it in the straight world. And I just gave up. I said, I'm not doing this. Straight dating sucks. Not all of it. But well, average,
I don't think that you gave up. I just think you found a better path for you.
I mean, maybe straight dating would work better if I was like really good looking, you know. If I was a Don Juan, but my formula, and here's where the beautiful thing about life is. I don't have to try to figure it out. I'm just going with what works.
Right.
And the fact that I can take it in the ass makes it even better.
Yes, it does.
Exactly.
And now that is where we should end this conversation, because that is the best button.
Well, Maria Connor, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. It's been truly enlightening. We had a very amazing conversation surrounding, you know, how people... walk in life and the differences between both sides, and that it is okay to embrace both or to struggle with both. And I think that you so eloquently put that into perspective for us on today's episode.
Yeah, really appreciate that. Great. I'm looking forward to seeing what it's titled, what the summary banner is.
Oh yeah, we'll figure
it's definitely going to be Girl Shock, and it's going to have Girl Shock in there, because we
really
want
appreciate
people...
it. I really would love to come back, and you know, you guys are really great. I really, like I said, I really appreciate the deep questions and thoughts. It really means a lot to me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely have you come back.
And I may be in New York October, November. If COVID holds up, I'm going to be living in Manhattan for 2 months. I will definitely, if I'm there, I will definitely look you guys up.
Yeah, if you're in New York, you can always just hop on the train and come on up. We're only about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
What, you want me to come up as the dude or Maria?
You can come.
You can come. You can change. You can do whatever you want. It's
however
up to you.
You want to. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we love Maria it also. In the bag.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, shows up as the dude. Maria's in the bag. Give me a minute.
Well, my dear.
It is a superhero theme. Mm. Yeah.
Well, my dear, thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful afternoon, because I know you're in California, and so you're 3 hours.
I'm going to the piano bar. Well, you sing a few tunes. Yep.
Well, you enjoy, and thank you once again for joining us.
It was so wonderful.
Thank you so much. Love you guys. Okay, bye.
Bye. Love.
Well, ladies and gents, that of course was Maria Connor. Y'all need to pick up this book. It's super cool.
She's awesome.
I love the fact that you know, the idea that one must pick a side is so ingrained in
labeling ourselves.
Right. And so for me, the fluidity in her ability to straddle both and struggle with both in a sense, it's very endearing and eye-opening in a sense.
It was 100% eye-opening. I was very, when she started to explain a little bit more about it, I was very taken aback almost. Because I do know a lot of trans individuals, and they, you know, they have dead names. They don't identify or acknowledge that part of them. And there's something within Maria that's important for her to continue to acknowledge the dude or find a way to maybe move forward. But I wasn't expecting to feel enlightened today.
No, it was a completely different take on you know, people's ideal path from being who you were to being who you want to be. And I think that for her or the dude, you know, I think that she places value on the dude. The dude makes the money.
Yeah. Right? And I think that's what... she's probably still listening, but I think that's what turned me off the most. Not of her. I love her, but
the situation itself.
Like toward the end when I started talking about, like, maybe it's Maria, maybe it's Maria's new, you know, whatever it is. Right. I think that you're right. I think she's putting value on the dude so that she feels as though she can provide for herself. When in fact, I feel, not only can Maria probably do better than the dude, but Maria would blossom if she could embrace not only the fact that she doesn't need the dude. We don't need a man.
Right. But maybe she does.
But maybe she does.
Right. And that's the important thing, and the important lesson is that regardless of what we're talking about and regardless of one's struggles, there's a reason why they need some aspect of their life, right? There's a reason why even when parents don't agree with who we are as people, we still seek them out.
Right.
Right. Because there's a need. And whatever that need is, I pray and I hope that she finds the...
I hope she gets fucked and loves it.
Right. And that she finds her path. Yeah. And that she finds her path not only for her, but also for the dude.
Yeah.
And whatever that manifests into, I think it's her decision and her path. And we wish her well and good luck.
Yeah. And we can't wait to have her back on. Seriously. That being said, I think I'm going to pee myself. So can we wrap this up?
Okay. So let's do this. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us today. So I'm going to toss it over to Nick, of course, because he's going to do our usual Mama Kim's Minute. So, Nicholas, let me give you some love.
Thank you. Thanks. All right, number one, Moderna starts human trials for its revolutionary HIV vaccine this week. Number two, Hobby Lobby loses decade-long battle to discriminate against trans employees. Number three, Gilead warns that counterfeit versions of its HIV meds are being found in U.S. pharmacies.
Wow, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
All right, well, that is Mama Kim's Minute. And, of course, I get to do On This Day in Gay History. When? It is August 23rd, 1994, where in the great country of Australia, the federal government overturns the state anti-sodomy law. Tasmania was the last Australian state to criminalize same-sex relations, meaning that, having butt sex was no longer legal, basically. So congratulations and yas, queen. So, all right. Well, ladies and gents, thank you.
It's still you.
It's still me. Thank you so much for tuning in on today's episode. Make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. And you can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Nick?
All right, next week, it is all about the dish as of current. And thank you to our guest, Maria Connor, author of Girl Shock. I dressed as a girl for Halloween, but then she took over my life.
Don't forget the subtopic, which says from straight to fabulous and naughty.
Hello.
All right. My turn?
Yeah.
All right. And now here's Nick with a weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there or Marias who are looking to engage in butt sex and who want to keep their buttholes on point. Yes, we are talking about the future method, and I'm going to give her some love. There you go.
Thank you. All right. Get the future method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. Make sure you visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum cleanser today.
Good job.
So should we put a dental dam, rubber, whatever the fuck you want on this?
Can we say a dilator, butt plug?
Yeah.
You kept calling them butt plugs, and I was like, it should be dilator, really.
Yeah. I know. Why didn't you correct me?
Well, I was trying to, but, you were in your moment, and yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to take it away from her. And I talk enough as it is.
So. All right, so we're going to put a butt plug in it. We're going to put a dental dam on it. We're going to put a condom on it. We're going to just wrap it all up.
That's right.
So our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcasts. It's also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab, which is located at the top of that web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or a host. You can also call us. The phone number is 334-K-TALK. I always sound like I'm saying three-three.
Sometimes.
Three-three. It's 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.